Wall Street took a dose of bad economic news with remarkable calm, rallying sharply even as consumer confidence plunged to its lowest levels in 41 years. The Dow saw its second largest point gain ever, up 889 points to the 9,065 level. It was a nearly 10% gain for all major markets today. The Nasdaq rose 143 points to end at 1,649. The S&P 500 rose 91 points to end at 940. In anticipation of a Federal Reserve cut, bargain hunters were grabbing up stocks that have been pounded in recent sessions. But larger trends, including that drop in consumer confidence in retail sales and in tax revenue from Wall Street, is creating havoc with New York State's budget, which relies on the financial sector for 20% of its income. The details coming up in the next hour from WNYC's Bob Henley. Every financial crisis is unique, but the one we're facing now has a lot in common. No, not with the Great Depression, which Governor Patterson invoked again today, but with the Bankers' Panic of 1907. The hero of that crisis was the financier J.P. Morgan. NYU financial history professor Richard Silla says that when word of a run on the Knickerbocker Bank in Midtown Manhattan reached Morgan, he immediately summoned every important banker he knew to his Madison Avenue mansion, locked them in a room, and told them to come up with a response.
He apparently played solitaire in his office across the hall from the room with the Gutenberg Bibles where the bankers were meeting. And finally, the bankers came up with a plan that Morgan thought would work. But it was important to make sure they all signed on. It reminds me of Henry Paulson putting a piece of paper in the front of the leaders of the banking community.
The head of Bank America saying, I don't care if you think you're solvent, you're going to sign this.
That's right, just a week or so ago. And so Henry Paulson did the same thing that Morgan did in 1907. He put the piece of paper out and had a pen in his hand and invited the bankers one by one to come up and said, here's the place where you sign so-and-so, and they signed.
And yet this was a fellow banker. This wasn't the head of the Treasury Department. Was there Treasury Department at this time? Where was the federal government?
The federal government was there, and there was a Treasury Department. There was not a central bank, however. So Morgan was sort of playing the role of the one-man central bank before we had a Federal Reserve. The Secretary of the Treasury, a man named Cortelyou, was sort of a second fiddle to Morgan. And what Morgan did with the New York bankers was get them to pool their funds, put them all into a pool, and then when there was a run on one of the weaker banks that Morgan thought was savable, the pool was used to meet the depositors' demands. And when depositors saw that the bankers were organized and there was plenty of money to meet their demands, the panic sort of evaporated and people stopped lining up at the banks. But Morgan orchestrated all that.
So if we want to know how the bailout of 2008 is going to play out, we look back at 1907. How did it play out? Were there, for example, more regulations that came in for banks afterwards, as there's talk now of doing with the credit default swap market, for example?
You know, in the wake of the panic of 1907, there were two major things happened. The U.S. government got involved in creating an emergency currency that could be issued in a panic. And the second thing was the movement for the Federal Reserve was launched, and we got it a few years later.
And so what of those lessons do you see being applied today?
Today, I think we hear leaders in the United States and leaders all over the world, President Sarkozy in France, Prime Minister Gordon Brown in Britain, even President Bush now, are saying we probably have to get together and have a worldwide examination of our financial arrangements and come up with some new financial architecture. We don't know what it'll look like yet, but
could it be? Is anybody floating the idea of a worldwide bank?
Well, that idea has been discussed. Suppose we had a world central bank,
right?
The IMF is something like that, but not quite a central bank because it only lends to governments. It doesn't lend to financial institutions. But I think they may talk not so much about a world central bank because the central banks we have now may be sufficient. I think there's more likely to be, financial regulations will be tightened up so we won't be able to make all those bad mortgage loans as easily as we did a few years ago that got us into this mess.
NYU financial history professor Richard Silla.